12. And the psalmist, the director of the music, according to the simon, that's a harp of 8 strings, at the Psalm of David. Help, Lord, for there's no one faithful anymore, and those who are loyal have vanished from the human race. Everyone lies to his neighbor. They flatter their lips, but harbor deception in their hearts. May the Lord silence all flattened lips, and every boastful tongue, and those who say, by our tongue we will prevail, our own lips defend us. Who is Lord over us? Because of the poor and plundered, and the needy groan, I will rise up, says the Lord. I will protect them from those who malign them. And the words of the Lord are flawless, like silver purified in a crucible, like gold refined 7 times. You, Lord, keep the needy safe, and you will protect us forever from the wicked, who freely stunder about, and when what is vile is honored by the human race. The Lord will give us understanding concerning his word. I suppose if you were to write over the psalm, you could write one word: where is God in the chaos? The background of the psalm is simply this: David is running from Saul. He's going from cave to cave. And when he gets a quiet moment, he plays on his harp. And the song he's playing, why? After all, said David, I never wanted to be king. It was Samuel, in 1 Samuel 16, by the power of God, who anointed me king. I was quite happy in my father's farm, looking after the sheep. And here I am. For those brief moments I had in the palace, I'm now running from place to place. I'm absolutely destitute. Let's pause a moment before we look at the text. There was one who dwelt in the Father's glory, who was the Father's delight, one who satisfied the Father, and he was quite content to be there. But it was the Father's will that he should come to earth. He should be the Lamb of God and be despised and rejected of men. The hymn puts it, none of the ransom ever knew how deep were the waters crossed, nor how dark the night the Lord passed through ere he found his sheep that was lost. So we're dealing with this Psalm 12, and it's divided up into 3 distinct sections. Verses 1 to 4, the section and the question that is being asked, God, are you there? The second question that's been asked in verses 5 to 6, God, do you really care? And the last question, verses 7 to 8, God, what will you get out of this affair? Three great questions that are confronted with us today. Now the psalmist never doubted there was a God. He always believed that. But there were times when he wondered whether God was right close to him in his particular problem and in his particular circumstances. Notice three things in verse 1. He says, help. This is the only psalm that begins with the little Greek Hebrew word, Shepha. It means help. It means save, deliver. And Dr. Stephen Wren, in his dictionary of Hebrew Greek words, puts it this way. Here was the psalmist singling for help. Like a beacon on the hill, longing for an army to come and rescue. Or like a ship that is sinking and calling for help, help. Or like a phone call from a person who's calling an ambulance, fire brigade or police, and it seems an eternity that they're going to come. And this is what the position of the psalmist was in. He looked for help. I'm reminded of another person who was God and verily man. I looked for comforters, but they were none. Alone in that darkness. The prophet Habakkuk, he was looking for help and he asked the question, why? In chapter 1, and verses 1 to 4, he asked the question, why do the evil prosper? And then in chapter 1 and verse 12 and 17, why do we not get any help? In chapter 2, he said, why don't God intervene? And in chapter 3, he said, why isn't God making us prosperous? Let me say this. As we get older, most of us older Christians will realize what I'm saying. There will come times in your life when you think everything is black. Everything is shattered. Everything is gone. And it seems that God isn't answering your prayers. In the 1930s and the early 1940s, there were godly Germans who were crying out, don't let Adolf Hitler get into power. But God seemed to be silent to their voice. He works all things after the counsel of his will. Remember, prayer isn't getting my will done. It's getting God's will done on earth. And that's how the land of Israel came into being. Because God allowed his sovereignty to work, even through Adolf Hitler. So look at the distraction. The distraction is this. In verse 12, he says this. Lord, no one is faithful anymore. Where are the godly men? And it's easy when you get older to think, well, it was a better day last year, those days. The churches were growing and they were booming. For example, in Hampshire alone, we had 150 Reverend Assemblies. But most of them are gone. Where are the godly people? And we've got to be careful that we don't have an obscure vision. Spurgeon was right when he said, God has his servants in every generation. And we've seen it with Gordon and Penny and the elders here. We've seen that God has his people. He works in the counsel of his will. So we must not limit God in his working. But you see, David was looking at King Saul. And he compared King Saul to Samuel. Samuel was a godly man. And Saul was an utter confused man. The godly are gone. But you have to remember that God is still working his purpose. Elijah, he got on Mount Carmel. He said, I'm the only one left. I'm the only godly one left. God said, you're not. There's 150 prophets that bear the need to bear. God has his servants in every generation. Let it come from the distraction to the from the depression to the devaluation. Look at the devaluation. He said, those who are loyal have vanished from human race. God always has his loyal servants. And we must remember that. He's working for those who are faithful to him. But then he looks away from what I call the oppression, and he looks for an explanation. And he says, look, he says, come to verse, they have flattering lips, and they harbor deceit in their hearts. He was describing the people of that day. But David was looking in a natural sense. Lord, may you silence the flattered lips and the boastful tongue. Yes, we've seen people in our day who tried to prevail against the Lord. But the Lord has got them under control. Yes, we have seen a great departure from the Word of God. But God has them under control. And then he said, look. Our tongues will prevail and our lips will defend us. Who is Lord over us? We've seen many who have tried to stand up and say, well, look, I don't need God in my life. I can rule my own life. Well then, well now we come on to the second question. God is there. He's always there. But does God really care? And this is the verse of scripture. Because of the poor are plundered and the needy groan. We must always recognize that God is always watching over his own people. The eyes of the Lord is watching over you and protecting you. Two, the Lord is securing. Rise up, O Lord, and protect us from those who may lean them, those who will ensnare them. God is always protecting his people. Some years ago, my mother was in a very distressful state. Having visited her mother, who was desperately ill, and her daughter, who was absolutely derided at times, my mother sat on the station and wept to her heart ache. And as she looked up, she saw a wise high priester, and it came from the book of Nathan. And these were the words: "The Lord is good, is a stronghold in the day of trouble. He knoweth them that put their trust in him." He said, "I found a new spirit overwhelm me. The Lord is securing." But the Lord also is standing. The word of the Lord, it says, this will be standing. We come down a bit further, down the text. And he said, "I will protect them from those who may malign them. And the word of the Lord is flawless." This book, the word of God, is pure, is right. We need to defend on the word of God. Two evangelicals, well known, have deflected into liberalism. One of them is Stephen Schalk, the founder of Spring Harvest. The other one is Rob Bell. They say they cannot trust the Bible as being the inspired word of God. They say they've got mistakes. The word of Jesus is very clear. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. And if there were a scripture broken, the whole structure of Christianity falls down, and Jesus would be the biggest liar that ever walked this earth. We must cling to the Bible. It's the word of God. And Paul says this: all scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for teaching, for instructing, for correcting, and for establishing, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto good works. Peter said this: "I want you to know that no scripture came by private interpretation. Prophecy never came by the ordination of the will of man. But holy men were carried, were borne along by the Spirit as they wrote the scriptures." We must cling to the Bible. I know there are many things in the Bible we'll never understand. The words of my Bible class leader, Harold Phillips, were these: "There are many things in the scriptures you'll never understand, but never allow that which you don't understand to rob you of the things you do." The scriptures is God's word. And that word was inbred, incarnate in Christ himself. Then it says this: "They are like silver purified in the crucible or in the furnace." The word of God is put in a furnace. It is refined. And it is refined, says the psalmist, seven times. All over the world, the word of God is being preached. By the year 2023, the Bible Society tell us that every nation, every tribe, every dialect, every people will have the scriptures in their own language. It's growing. The word of God. Grown in prison cells. Grown in torture. But it's growing. It will be put into the furnace. It will be tested. The word of God has been tested. Go back to the black period of the Catholicism. For 300 years, the scripture was driven underground. People like Tyndall, Wycliffe, and others, Martin Luther, they published the scriptures, which is the word of God. It will stretch from shore to shore. It's going across the radio, across television, and across everything. Well now, God shows his love through his word and through his son. Notice that it says the needy groans. That word groan in Hebrew, I'm given to understand, means to squeeze out. There's a lovely thought here. David was being squeezed out on all sides. He was being squeezed out by King Saul, by the Philistines, and by the Moabites. Wherever he went, he was squeezed out. But there was another person who was squeezed out. The same Hebrew word is used in Isaiah 53. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised. And the word bruised is the same Hebrew word as squeezed. He was squeezed out. Squeezed out the sin question. One. And for all. It dealt with at the cross. And we thank God for that. He exalted the righteous demands of a holy God. Well now, let's come to verse 7. How is God going to work in these affairs? The Lord will keep the needy safe. That doesn't mean that we're going to be safe from all illnesses or persecution. But what he does do, he keeps us safe in our trials. Let me put it this way. When Watchman Lee, a great Chinese Christian, spent over 20 years in prison, when he was under great pressure, the Chinese authorities tried to crush him. So they got his wife under gunpoint to write a letter to say to Watchman that she found another man and she was going to divorce him. Watchman said, I went berserk. My life was shattered. Then one day God spoke to me in a dream. Watchman, don't worry about this. It is a slur. The communists are trying to break you. So he went around cheerful. The communist authorities began to realize that Watchman was found something that kept him safe. A few days later, they brought his wife in, and the whole truth came out. that were trying to break him. God will keep his people safe. And he will protect us forever from the wicked. Yes, from the evil exploits of Satan. We don't know what's going to happen next year, do we? Next year, 2014, civil marriage will be flooding by the law. Christians have already suffered from this, already. There's a hotel business down in Cornwall. It's lost their money and everything because of this policy. There was a Christian registrar lost her job. He couldn't make condoning. And there was an open-air preacher in Hyde Park who preached against this thing. And he was heavily fined. Christians, we will have to nail our colours to the mast. We will have to take our stand. But never mind. He will protect us. Those who freely stand to bay, wickedness will increase. We don't know what's going to happen in Syria. Whether this is a part of a divine plan and prophecy, we don't know. We know that Israel one day is going to go through a very difficult time. We know that the days could be darkened for them. We don't know when that will be or how it will be. The wicked stand about. What is vile is honoured by human race. And it is today. Sin is honoured. But we got to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, who's the author and finisher of our faith. When you see these things coming to pass, look up. Your redemption draw is nigh. I think one of the things we lack in our modern day, years ago, every sermon had the second coming of Christ. I know they went over the top. We hardly hear it preached today. Alistair preached it the other day, and I'm very pleased he did. He is coming. Let's keep on looking at the Lord. And he will not tarry. But in the meantime, let us be true. Let us be faithful to God's word. And let us keep walking with him. Not worrying about the things that are around us, pray for them. But keep looking at Jesus. And that's the answer to our lives. Keep looking at him. We sing our last hymn together.